Welcome, everyone. It's Corinne Zupko, and we are here for our weekly study group. And let's go ahead and just begin with a short period of meditation. So, coming to a position that you feel comfortable in, allowing the eyes to close, and turning within. You can focus on your breath. You can focus on a feeling of love, a feeling of peace, whatever it is that you want to use as your anchor to the present moment. And if you find that you keep feeling distracted, you can just notice those distractions and come back to whatever your anchor is. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, he will give it to us. If we need a thought, that will he also give. And if we need but quiet and a tranquil, still mind, these are the gifts we will receive of him. He is in charge by our request. The Holy Spirit is in charge by our request. And so taking a nice deep breath in, and when you're ready, opening your eyes to come together to share our study time. All right. So we are in the very beginning of the text. We're on number 11 in the Principles of Miracles. So we're on Miracle Principle number 11. If you are in the Sparkle Edition, it's on page 2. If you're in the Original Edition, it's on page 3. And again, just a reminder, now that we have switched over to the Original Edition and Sparkle Edition, there will be a substantial difference in the next probably many pages that we're reading between these editions and the FIP edition. So again, if you don't have the book, you can contact me to find out how you can get a free copy of the Sparkle edition. And of course, you can always buy the original edition too. So let's begin. What I'll just do, I'll do like we did last time because it seemed to work out well. We'll take it kind of slow, so I'll just read 5 of these at a time, and we can just, even if I read only 2 and you have a question or a thought and want to stop there, go ahead and speak up. I don't mind, just stopping wherever. So, number 11. Prayer is the medium of miracles. Prayer is the natural communication of the created with the Creator. Through prayer, love is received, and through miracles, love is expressed. Number 12, miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent lower order or higher order reality. This is the basic distinction between intellectualizing and thinking. One makes the physical, and the other creates the spiritual, and we believe in what we make or create. 13. Miracles are both beginnings and endings. They thus alter the temporal order. They are always affirmations of rebirth, which seem to go back, but really go forward. They undo the past in the present and thus release the future. 14. Miracles bear witness to truth. They are convincing because they arise from conviction. Without conviction, they deteriorate into magic, which is mindless and therefore destructive, or rather the uncreative use of mind. And 15, each day should be devoted to miracles. The purpose of time is to enable man to learn to use it constructively. Time is thus a teaching device and a means to an end. It will cease when it is no longer useful in facilitating learning. All right, so let's just take a pause there and see if we have any comments or questions. I know that for me, principle number 11, the first one we read about prayer being the medium of miracles, I guess just a reminder that that there's a difference in praying for form and praying for, you know, a certain outcome in form versus asking for our minds to be healed, asking, you know, for that miracle, to that recognition that what is, that really there is no out there, and that it's coming from within, and that we are praying to, you know, have that shift in our own perception. So that was just something that came forward for me. Number 12, where it says thoughts can represent lower order or higher order reality. Lower order reality, it's talking about the dream level, this body level, and higher order reality being the spiritual level. So it's making the distinction here between making and creating. It says that making is what the ego does in this physical plane, where, you know, in our desire to be separate from our source, we made this world, this body, and creating, however, is what we do in truth. That's extension. That's, you know, the extension of God's love. So there's a difference that the Course makes in those two terms, making and creating.
Well, intellectualizing, it's talking about intellectualizing and thinking.
Right. And the way that it's using it there, it's using it in terms of intellectualizing being like what the ego does with, you know, the intellect and thinking in that sense. When it uses the word thinking again there, it's talking more about, this is my interpretation at least, on a different level than this, you know, our true thoughts, the thoughts that we share with God.
Yeah, the higher order. So lower order would be intellectualizing, and higher order reality would be thinking.
Right, right.
Thinking with God.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes me think, too, how the Course says that we're not really, our minds really right now are drawing a blank. We're not really thinking when we're in our own, you know, heads, our own ego thoughts. So yeah, that's how it's making that distinction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I read somewhere, I don't know where it was, that miracles do not awaken. They merely show you who the dreamer is. And this has been, I was just kind of reading through these principles before the group tonight, and I just kind of had that in my head, and I just found it to be helpful, that miracles don't awaken us. They instead just point us back to looking at who the dreamer is, that this dream is coming from, you know, our split mind, from a higher part of our mind that, you know, is taking a snooze, taking a nap. So I'm just throwing that out there in case that's helpful. And I guess I'll just say, too, about Principle 15, the purpose of time being for us to learn how to use it constructively. I don't have the book title, but Danielle, my colleague who, you know, I founded Miracle Share with, she recommended a book to me that's actually a graphic novel of A Course in Miracles principles in terms of describing a lot of the Course's teachings. And there was I just remember seeing a diagram of, although maybe I'm confusing now and it wasn't even from that book, it was some diagram of this idea of collapsing time, where as we choose, you know, there's certainly a long path that we can follow to eventually get back to God, but the way that this Course Miracles curriculum works is that through these miracles, as we return to the Holy Spirit within us, there's a time collapse. It shortens time. So rather than having to learn a lesson over, you know, several lifetimes, we can get it now in a much shorter period of time. So that just came up for me.
What's that?
That's okay. Is that a phone?
Hold on. Yeah, hold on.
Okay. So that was where my thinking was going for Principle 15.
That's very comforting to know that, I guess you can collapse time.
Right, yeah, I agree.
It gets into me that much quicker, I guess.
Uh-huh. yeah. Definitely, and I like too how it says it's just a teaching device and a means to an end. That's comforting to me too. So, shall we read some more? Does anybody have any questions or comments? I'm hearing your breath.
Yeah, I know.
Does
this keep happening, though? I mean, is this going to be an ongoing thing, this life? I mean, are we going to keep doing this over and over again?
So I'm going to now digress because I watched a video. There's a guy, his name is Kenneth Bach, and he is A Course in Miracles student and teacher, and he has a website called ACIM Explained. And we've been going kind of bonkers about this video on MiracleShare. He posted it on MiracleShare. It's on YouTube. It's also on his website. He interviewed a woman. Her name is Nuke Sanchez. It's Nouk Sanchez. And her interview is an hour and 40 minutes long. So it's long, but it is worth every single minute. I don't feel like the same person, inside as I was before watching this. And one of the things that she talks about towards the end, there's so much I could say. Her husband died a few years back, and so she's talking about him and talks about how really he just left form, but he is still very much there, and she still, you know, is able to communicate with him, and so she talks about all of this in probably about the middle of the interview. About the last 50 minutes, maybe about the last hour of the interview, she starts talking about death and, you know, our belief in death being real. And one of the things that she says that is really, really resonated with me was that we're being asked to wake up here, that we don't, when death happens, nothing really happens. We're being asked to learn and experience, learn and do all that Jesus was able to do. He was the one, you know, he was tempted by this dream and in it just like we are, but was able to, you know, work his way with the Holy Spirit out. So in thinking about her interview to answer your question, Paula, and thinking too just about what the Course teaches, that this doesn't go on forever, that when we finally decide that that there's really nothing here, when we finally are ready to see that that this world really isn't anything, that it not only isn't our home, but that, like, it's all over already, that it is done, and we do choose to not come back. So yes, I think it can be done. It doesn't go on forever, but it's all within our willingness and our readiness to go there. If we're not ready, if that seems scary, then we're gonna keep staying here because, you know, we're afraid of reality, where the Course teaches too, you know, we're very confused about that, where we think reality is frightening, but really what we're in here is fear. That reality actually is not scary at all if we just, you know,
yeah.
could If we just didn't know that, it would be like, wow.
I just visited my brother-in-law in the hospital. He has been diagnosed this week with stage 4 lung cancer. He will go soon. I mean, he's pretty much done. But I thought to myself, when you were reading this, the purpose of time is to enable man to learn to use it constructively. Mm-hmm. Time is thus a teaching device and a means to an end, and it will cease when it no longer is useful in facilitating. So it kind of like really drove that home, and how, I mean, we've experienced miracle after miracle, and I see how it does collapse time, mm-hmm. How it, you know, there was a time I wouldn't have been able to be in that room with him and without being totally devastated by it, you know. But tonight it was effortless, and it was,
wow.
I almost felt such a relief for him, mm-hmm. because he's gonna find out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna find out how, the good news. I mean, it's really good news when you think
it
about
is.
It. It's lovely,
right?
And I guess it's just when you learn that on the physical plane. And then when you leave the body, why don't we just continue reading? Because I have a feeling this is going to get cleared up for me.
Okay, that sounds
good. In the reading.
Okay. It always does, right?
Yeah, it always does.
What's
Corinne,
that, Cindy?
Can you say that man's name again for that website?
Yeah, if you go to, well, I'll give you, okay, so it's on, you can find it on MiracleShare.org. And just look under, if you go to the bottom right of the screen, there's a videos tab, and you could just click on that. The person interviewed is Nuk, N-O-U-K, Sanchez. The person doing the interviewing, his name is Kenneth Bok, B-O-K. And his website is acimexplained.com.
Okay.
So it's he also has all of his interviews on iTunes that you can download for free. So if you don't have time to actually sit at your computer and watch the video, you can just download the MP3 and listen to it, you know, on your iPod. I can't recommend it highly enough, because she is an advanced teacher of God and really, really is able to make very clear what the principles are of the course and what we're asked to do, what we're asked to learn, you know, here. So, and again, all of her teachings about death being an illusion. So I highly recommend it. Somebody had to, like, I had to be really nudged very hard to watch it for an hour and 40 minutes, but now that I have, I'm just still beside myself. So, it's a must listen. Must watch. All right, so let's go ahead and keep reading. Yeah, no problem. Number 16. Miracles are teaching devices for demonstrating that it is more blessed to give than to receive. They simultaneously increase the strength of the giver and supply strength to the receiver. Number 17. Miracles are the transcendence of the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from a sense of lower order reality. That is why they heal. 18. A miracle is a service. It is the maximal service one individual can render another. It is a way of loving your neighbor as yourself. The doer recognizes his own and his neighbor's inestimable worth simultaneously. 19. Miracles make minds one in God. They depend on cooperation, because the sonship is the sum of all the souls God created. Miracles, therefore, rest on laws of eternity, not on time. And 20. Miracles reawaken the awareness that the spirit, not the body, is the altar of truth. This is the recognition that leads to the healing power of the miracle. All right, let's pause there and see if any of us have any thoughts. I know I could say that, like, for number 16, where it says it's more blessed to give than to receive, the next sentence clarifies it. It's more blessed to give because when you're giving, you're still receiving, but the other person is also receiving as well, rather than it just being, you know, one way. 17, with being, you know, miracles being the transcendence of the body, they are sudden shifts into invisibility. Again, to me, that speaks to that quote that I said earlier, that miracles show us who the dreamer is, that this is really coming, you know, from my mind, from our mind. And I really like how it says under Principle 19, miracles rest on the laws of eternity, not on time. That's another very comforting one to me. And the next one, I'll just keep going, that miracles reawaken the awareness that the spirit, not the body, is the altar of truth. This is the recognition that leads to the healing power of the miracle. This is where, for me, that course quote, you know, it says something to the effect of, like, to understand this course, to get this course, the insignificance of the body has to become an acceptable idea. If we can't accept an idea, you know, that relates to the insignificance of the body, it's going to be really hard to learn the course. So we're learning that the spirit is the altar of truth, not the body. Any questions or thoughts so far? All right, let's read a few more. 21. Miracles are natural expressions of total forgiveness. Through miracles, man accepts God's forgiveness by extending it to others. 22. Miracles are associated with fear only because of the fallacious belief that darkness can hide. Man believes that what he cannot see does not exist, and his physical eyes cannot see in the dark. This is a very primitive solution and has led to a denial of the spiritual eye. The escape from darkness involves two stages. A, the recognition that darkness cannot hide. This step usually entails fear. And B, the recognition that there is nothing you would want to hide even if you could. This step brings escape from fear.
Well, that's a little, this is, oh, you better reread this one. This is.
So 22. So should I read it again, or should I?
Associated with fear?
We think that if we can't see it, feel it, touch it, like, that it's either not there or that it's scary. Like, think about people who have been spontaneously healed and, you know, doctors who then recoil because, like, well, it must have been a mistake in the first place to think that you were sick. Like, if it's beyond our realm of understanding and something happens, like, it can freak us out if we're not, you know, ready to see that or experience that. So that's where the Course says, like, it wouldn't be kind to us to just hurl us into reality, even though that would probably make us very happy, because we're terrified of it, because we think that there's something there, you know, that isn't, or we think because we can't see it
because
or feel it or touch
it. Because of the five senses.
And that it's unknown, that it's, you know, we've forgotten it. We've put up enough of these blocks to have this, you know, the Course talks about a great amnesia. We have this great amnesia, so if we can't remember, you know, who we really are, it's scary to think we're something other than what we perceive to be, like you said, with these five senses and in this body.
Wow.
Yeah. And so where it says the escape from darkness involves two stages, first we're recognizing, so it says, the recognition that darkness cannot hide, this step usually entails fear. What this makes me think of is that, you know, on one level, we think we pulled this off, and we think that God is angry at us and we want to hide because we think we've done something wrong, but we think that God knows about it and we're going to be found out. The other way of thinking about this is that, you know, we're afraid to look within because we're afraid we're going to see something, you know, dark and sinful there. And if it's there, then it's just, you know, a matter of time before perhaps it erupts. So that's what that first one makes me think of. And then obviously the next one where it says the recognition, there is nothing you would want to hide even if you could, that's realizing that, you know, none of what we're afraid of is there. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's all just our ego, again, building these blocks, and since there is nothing to hide, that's the escape from fear. Does any of that clarify that
section? Oh, absolutely.
I had to read that a few times and keep asking the Holy Spirit to help me out because the first time I read it, I was like, but yeah. So.
There's two things that are going through my mind. Maybe more than two, but that I can hold on to. This sounds, I get so much comfort just listening, but listening to you share and listening to you read these, I've just started reading the Course every day. I've got to admit to that. Gone to gatherings for years and years, but anyway, it's giving me a lot of comfort right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that ego is very, very active.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on this earthly plane for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And around me.
Mm-hmm.
There was something when you read about miracles are teaching devices for demonstrating it is as blessed to give as to receive.
Mm-hmm.
This is what mine says anyway. They simultaneously
mm-hmm.
increase the strength of the giver and supply strength for the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was listening, I was thinking of a man that had something difficult happen to him in the last week, a little more than a week ago. He was driving a car going to pick up his son from a party at 3:00 in the morning, and he hit a young girl on the road.
Oh, wow.
Who also lived in our town.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter shared today that he's on suicide watch.
Mm.
And I said, you know, I can understand that. There's probably nothing worse than to kill someone else's child. But my thought that came to me with that reading that you did
mm-hmm.
was to take my time and offer up a miracle and pray for this man every day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that's about, that principle?
Good question. I'm just rereading it.
I mean, not necessarily to that degree, but that's just the message that I'm getting, to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't believe that that's ego.
Right,
yeah, but you
right.
won't. You weren't the one who would be doing that.
Well,
right.
Well, one thing that I'll throw out there is that miracles, as it's talking about this is one of the things that one of the earlier principles that we read last week, that they're not under conscious control,
okay.
and that if they're consciously selected, then they can be misguided. So what I'm hearing from you and that impulse to want to, you know, give in some way,
okay.
one of the really powerful things that I've been working with in the Course, and Nuke Sanchez in her interview talks about this in her own words. What you see out there you know, it's all coming from our mind. And the best service that we can do, of course, you know, the way that we're used to praying, of praying for somebody, there's nothing wrong with that if that's how you feel that you need to pray. The Course is also saying, however, that there's levels of prayer, growth within prayer, where we can also be praying by saying, Holy Spirit, this is what I'm perceiving. I'm perceiving a really, really painful situation out there, and I'm willing for that healing to happen in my mind. So take this from me. This is a prayer from page in the FIP edition. I'm pretty sure it's page 419. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, so let me not see it as a sign of form, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of this an obstacle to peace, but instead let you use this for me to facilitate peace's coming. So the subtle, I guess, tweak that I'm kind of saying is that if we're praying for somebody else, we're kind of in essence saying, this person is a body. What really happened did really happen. And in a sense, by saying, you know, I'm praying for this other person outside of me, you know, we're kind of keeping the separation going. We're kind of reinforcing that there really is a difference between, you know, he and I or you and me or whatever. So another way of, and again, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you feel, you know, works for you. Another option would be to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, help me use prayer in the highest way in order to be helpful in this situation. And I don't know how, but I'm willing to let you use me. I'm willing, you know, here's my willingness to see it differently. Here's my willingness to pray. So I know it's not, it might not seem, I don't know, it might seem a little weird. I'm not sure how it seems, if I'm explaining it.
That's really helpful. That's very helpful.
And so what you're doing then going back to this, you know, number 16 about it being more blessed to give than to receive, what you're then giving is a prayer, is a willingness to see that there is no separation, that death isn't real. You're bringing it back to your mind and asking for the Holy Spirit to work from your mind, because again, the Course is saying that this is all coming from us. It's all a projection of our mind. So another thing that I'll just add is that this is where that prayer from Ho'oponopono, I know I've mentioned him on the call before, but his name is Dr. Ihaleakala Hugh Len, and the prayer that he says is, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And what he's teaching is in essence, it's bringing us back to zero. The name of the book that I read about this is called Zero Limits. It's about clearing our own perceptions up. And he healed a whole psychiatric, criminals. So it was a jail, but there were also psychiatric patients, and at least that's my recollection. And he healed all of them through this process without ever even meeting with them. So I'm sorry if I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, but
this is excellent.
The same sort of method that I just described in bringing it back to your own mind, the way that I think about I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And I think I've said this before on the call. I love you, to me, means I am God's son. I am, you know, recognizing that there is no separation. So that's what the I love you captures for me. I'm sorry means that this is all, you know, part of my dream. This is all something that is coming from my mind. So it's a taking of responsibility for what we see. That's I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me is Holy Spirit, here you go. I'm willing to receive the miracle instead. That's I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then thank you, it's done. And kind of resting in that trust that, you know, your prayer has already been answered. So I don't know if that's helpful.
very helpful. Thank you, Corinne. Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty painful picture for not only the people immediately involved, but also for everybody in that small town.
Yeah. Well, wow. You know, it's very, very helpful for me to tune in to something like the Course of Miracles and get perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. That's what it's here for. It's such a help. All right, where were we? I think we're on 23, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go ahead and read that one. It's a little long. Miracles rearrange perception and place the levels of perception in true perspective. This heals at all levels because sickness comes from confusing the levels. When you have become willing to hide nothing, you will not only be willing to enter into communion, but will also understand peace and joy. Your commitment is not yet total, and that is why you still have more to learn than to teach. When your equilibrium stabilizes, you will be able to teach as much as you learn, which will give you the proper balance. Meanwhile, remember that no effort is wasted, for unless you remember this, you cannot avail yourself of my efforts, which are limitless. Only eternity is real. Why not use the illusion of time constructively? Number 24. Miracles enable man to heal the sick and raise the dead because he made sickness and death himself and can abolish both. You are a miracle, capable of creating in the likeness of your Creator. Everything else is only your own nightmare and does not exist. Only the creations of light are real. And 25. Miracles are part of an interlocking chain of forgiveness, which when completed is the atonement. This process works all the time and in all dimensions of time. I am in charge of the process of atonement, which I undertook to begin. When you offer a miracle unto any of my brothers, you do it unto yourself and me. The reason you come before me is that I do not need miracles for my own atonement, but I stand at the end in case you fail temporarily. The purpose of my part in the atonement is the canceling out of all lacks of love which men could not otherwise correct. The word sin should be changed to lack of love because sin is a man-made word with threat connotations which he made up himself. No real threat is involved anywhere. Nothing is gained by frightening yourselves, and it is very destructive to do so. And I'll just take a pause right there. So, again, I'll just say with principle number 24, that miracles enable man to heal the sick and raise the dead because he made sickness and death himself and can abolish both. One of the things, I know I keep talking about Nuke Sanchez, but like you can already tell, this video had a really big impact on me. One of the things that she talks about, and she says she's only in kindergarten in terms of learning this, but she's learning from Jesus' teaching in the Course in Miracles that we are being asked to learn that that physical miracles can actually happen here as well. A lot of she says, and I agree with this, that, you know, most Course students think, well, the miracles are just all in our minds. And she's saying too that she's now seeing that they can also be real miracles as well. And one of the things that she shares towards the very end of the video is a quote. She has it in her new book. It's in the special messages of A Course in Miracles, which was dictated, you know, transcribed after the whole course had come through the process of interdictation. And in these special messages, Helen Schuckman asks Jesus, was there a physical resurrection? And Jesus responds to her, and again, now I'm going from what, you know, Nuke said in her interview, and I have to reread this. I'm pretty sure it might be in the Ur text. I'm not sure. But he says, essentially, that his body disappeared. It didn't need to decay. He was so clear that this was all a dream and that this was absolutely nothing, that his body disappeared. It didn't follow the laws of the world, you know, which would be decay and whatnot. So that came up for me when I was reading this. You know, all that was left behind was his shroud. And so that came up for me strongly when we were reading this, that you know, we made sickness and death ourselves and can abolish both. I thought that was, again, pretty powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
It kind of all comes down to just don't make it real, no matter what.
Right.
No matter what it is.
Right. And that's I'm glad that you said that too, because I think I've said this before, like with not making it real, what I'm learning is that, I don't know if I can even put this into words, that ability to not make it real kind of starts to happen automatically when, as we keep turning to the Holy Spirit more and more for these blocks to be removed for us, that it's not an intellectual feat of saying, oh, well, it's just not real, you know, like,
yeah,
so I'm just
absolutely.
Not gonna, I'm not going to look at it, or I'm not going to get upset by it. It's not making it real, but it's like how it
but
says
that's
on page
why
90.
You don't get that's why you don't get upset by it anymore, because on that deeper level, it's being healed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you know, and you know, like it says, conviction. You know that this is a dream. Like that. Development of trust is really, you know, really developed then at that point. And I was just going to add, too, with, you know, the end of our favorite page 90 in the FIP edition, you know, the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision. At the very end of that prayer, it says, we allow the Holy Spirit to decide for God for us. So we don't even know how to decide for God. We're letting the Holy Spirit do that for us. So it's we really are asked to do so little.
and it really also comes down to, we really don't know anything.
No.
Now, it's so personally insulting. The ego goes wacky over that.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
We really don't know anything.
Yep.
Oh, I have to learn that and relearn that.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. It's all much ado about nothing.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love that.
But why do we get so twisted, you know? It's sometimes
there's so much stimulation around us.
Right? Well, we get so twisted too because we want it. Like we there's part of us that wants to be separate. That's that.
That's what keeps the body identification going. I mean, how many times?
It keeps the body identification going. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. It keeps the body identification going. So when all that, you know, twisted stuff is happening, that's where the rubber hits the road, and we have to keep turning with the slightest, tiniest bit of willingness to the Holy Spirit. And when I say we want it, I don't mean consciously. I mean unconscious. Yeah, the unconscious split mind part of us that wants this world to be real. Like you said, wants the body identification to be real. So, yeah. No, consciously, heck no. No. We want a happy dream. Well, let's see. We have a few minutes left. Should I read another one?
Yes.
Sure.
Let's go for number 26. Miracles represent freedom from fear. Atoning really means undoing. The undoing of fear is an essential part of the atonement value of miracles. The purpose of the atonement is to restore everything to you, or rather, to restore it to your awareness. You were given everything when you were created, just as everyone was. When you have been restored to the recognition of your original state, you naturally become part of the atonement yourself. As you share my inability to tolerate lack of love in yourself and others, you must join the great crusade to correct it. The slogan for this crusade is listen, learn, and do. Listen to my voice, learn to undo error, and do something to correct it. The power to work miracles belongs to you. I will provide the opportunities to do them, but you must be ready and willing, since you are already able. Doing them will bring conviction in the ability, since conviction really comes through accomplishment. The ability is the potential, the achievement is its expression, and the atonement is the purpose. So that was number 26. I really like in there how it says once we share that inability to tolerate lack of love in ourselves and in others, that we join the great crusade to correct it. It says somewhere else in the course that it's a crusade of love. And I just love that.
That is beautiful.
Isn't it? Great crusade of love.
This really is, I have the foundation for Inner Peace edition here, and this Sparkle edition really goes gives a lot more information.
There is a good, I think, I'm pretty sure it was like 10 or 12,000 words that are in the Sparkle edition and original edition that's not in the FIP edition. So that's why I was getting such strong guidance this time to go through, the Sparkle and the original edition, because I wanna read all that.
There's like two paragraphs here added to this 26 that are not in the Foundation for Inner Peace, as also 25. Wow. Oh.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, we'll see a lot of that. I think a lot of the added material is in the early pages of the Sparkle and original edition. So if you keep the FIP book open, you'll see that. So very good. Should I squeeze in one more?
Yeah.
I'll go for it. Number 27. A miracle is a universal blessing from God through me to all my brothers. It is the privilege of the forgiven to forgive. The disciples were specifically told to be physicians of the Lord and to heal others. They were also told to heal themselves and were promised that I would never leave them or forsake them. Atonement is the natural profession of the children of God because they have professed me. Heaven and earth shall pass away simply means that they will not continue to exist as separate states. My word, which is the resurrection and the light, shall not pass away because light is eternal. You are the work of God, and his work is wholly lovable and wholly loving. This is how a man must think of himself in his heart, because this is what he is.
Oh.
Beautiful. There is a church in a town where I used to live, and it had a mosaic image of Jesus on the front of the church, and it said, the quote said beneath it, I am with you always. And I always just got such comfort. I always loved just looking at that and that quote, and hear how it says to, that he says to the disciples, I will never leave them or forsake them. And he says that, that's throughout the course as well. And that is just what we're learning, that voice, whether we're comfortable with Jesus as a symbol or our inner guide or the Holy Spirit, it's all just symbols. It's something beyond ourselves that matters in terms of recognizing that voice is always there. We are not alone.
beautiful, very comforting, very comforting.
It is. It is. All right. Any other comments or thoughts? Well, this was fun.
I'm going to make sure I go to this miracleshare.org and tune into this tomorrow night.
Yeah, definitely join. I'll see that you join, and I'll even post you the link so you can find it easily. We've been having a ball. There's already, I don't know, on the site itself, it's had several, at least 100 views, so we're all kind of giddy about how good it is. It'll blow your mind. So,
well, when I hang up right now, why don't I go? So I actually have to join up, Miracle Share.
If you want to join, or I could just email you the link to the video, if you'd prefer it that way.
No, I'd like to go to this web, to the Miracle Share.
Yeah. So it is a joining. It is, you know, you'll put your name, your email address. There's some profile questions that you can fill out if you want to. You can, you know, do them at another time if you'd like, because it creates your own little profile page. You can upload a photo if you want to. You don't have to. You know, you can put as much or as little as you like.
Terrific.
Yeah, it's been really fun. There's people now on the site from all of the continents except Antarctica.
You're kidding.
It's too cold in Antarctica apparently to do the course, but I'm kidding. But yeah, it's been really neat to see just all the people from other countries that have been joining. I don't even know, we don't know how they're finding it, but it has been a lot of fun. I used to make
fun. Thank you so much, Corinne.
No problem. I used to tease people who, you know, met other people online, and here I am now making lots of friends online, and it's pretty cool. It really it really happens.
I'm going to go do this right now.
Awesome. Good.
Carol, I'll send you that link tomorrow.
All right. Thanks so much, and thank you, Corinne. Nice to
thank you, Carol.
Cindy and Paula.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carol.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks
bye-bye.
So much, everyone. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.